Good morning, Living Water. And it is great to see all of you this morning. Again, as Shane said, it's Labor Day weekend, so we're so glad that you could join us on this holiday weekend. I know that we're all probably looking forward to the day off tomorrow, but before that, man, I'm so glad to be in God's house with you this morning. Again, if it's your first time here with us, we would love it if you could take that connection card in the seat back in front of you and just fill that out so we can get to know you more and help plug you in here with what we're doing here at Living Water. But again, who's ready to dive into the Word of God this morning? Amen, man. You guys are alive. You're more alive than the first service, so that's really good. So again, Psalms chapter 1 is where we'll be today. Psalm chapter 1 as we look at Rooted in Faith. So if you're taking notes or you're titling today's message, that is today's message, Rooted in Faith. More specifically, what the path of one who is rooted looks like. Over the past few weeks, we've been in the discussion Made for More, that as God's creation, as followers of Jesus, we're giving purpose and meaning that transcends everything else that this world has to offer. And as David finished up that discussion last week on the wonderful truth that we are made to make a difference, that as followers of Christ, we have a purpose of being the salt and the light, his hands and feet of the gospel, I really feel that today ties in to what we just talked about, being made for more. That being made for more starts with being rooted in faith. That our faith must be rooted, that our lives must be rooted in our faith in Jesus Christ, which starts at the gospel, which is his life and his death and his resurrection. It's the most important truth to ever happen in our lives and in the lives of anyone in this world. It's the most defining act of love. But as we look at this today and we talk again about the path of one who is faithful, contrasted to the path who is one who is faithless, as we look in Psalms 1, I think it's an important reminder, because while we often don't forget why we're faithful or who our faith and trust is in, it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to lose focus on the path of faithfulness. I think we're entering into a very hectic season of life, right? For students, everything that's kicked off for you guys with school being back in here for a couple of weeks and extracurricular activities picking back up, for our college students that are back on campus this week and in your past syllabus week now, for parents with all of your kids' activities that are now back in full swing and your schedule is now full of chaos. I don't know how you guys do it. For people that are in business, this seems like one of the busiest quarters that people are in, this fall season leading up to the holidays that we have. On top of that, it's flu season. It's allergy season. I mean, which is great. Not. Yeah, my daughter's just been sick this past week, so I've experienced all of that. It's been wonderful. But again, it's a very hectic season that I think we can enter into at times, right? And when we're in these moments where we're caught up with the things that are going on, I think it's easy to lose focus on what the path of faithfulness looks like, on what being rooted in faith looks like. And when this happens, when the winds and the waves come, man, our root system becomes a little malnourished, right? We've had a lot of crazy weather this year. I mean, hailstorms, tornadoes, windstorms, all that. But in March, we had a windstorm. My wife and I had just returned from the hospital with our daughter who had just been born. And the day after that, there was this windstorm, and it blew over a tree in our backyard. And so the next morning, I walk out to assess what had happened, and as many of you probably know, there was two things. The tree was dead, and the root system was shallow. And when the root system on a tree is shallow and wind comes, it blows over. Right? In the same way, I think the same thing happens in our lives, that when we lose focus on the path of faithfulness, when we lose focus on our relationship with God, when we let the things of the world crowd in, when the winds and the waves of life come, our tree can start to shake. As we dive into Psalms 1 again, there will be two paths, the one of the faithful and the one who is rooted in faith and the one of the faithless. And as we dive into Psalms, I want us to focus there, but I also want us to see that we serve a God who is good and who is good above all things. So as I pray for us, let's dive into the Word this morning. Father, Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we just thank you for how you're moving, God, for how you're working here. God, in our church, God, but just in our body, God, in the body of believers worldwide. Lord, ask that you would speak to us this morning, God, that you would open our hearts. God, that you would speak through me. God, that you would remove any hindrances that I have, that it would be you who speaks, God, that we would apply this word to our life, God, and seek to be the salt and the light to those around us. It's in your most heavenly name that we pray. Amen. So again, Psalms 1 is where we'll start this morning. Psalms chapter 1. And starting in verse 1, it says this. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Again, two paths are very clearly demonstrated here, right? The path of the righteous one who is rooted in faith, who is watched over by God, who is led by God, and then the path of the one who is faithless in wickedness, who leads to destruction. And as we dive into the Word today, I want us to focus on what the path of one rooted in faith looks like. And so there's three things that I want us to see. And the first is this. It's the Lord's way and it's the Lord's Word. It's got to be the Lord's way and it's the Lord's Word. And so what does that mean? Right off the bat in verses 1 and 2, it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. It tells us that the one who walks in the ways of the Lord is blessed. That this is where true joy is. That we know that true joy is found in Christ, that eternal joy is found in Christ, but walking in the Lord's ways is joyful. It's peaceful. Right? It reminds us that those who are rooted, that for those of us that are rooted in faith, there needs to be a steadfastness, like a resolute standing, that we're going to stand in the ways of the Lord. That it reminds us that the rooted one does not follow the advice of the wicked. That the rooted one does not sin in the way of sinners or join in with those who mock, but those ways are for those who pursue the world first, who are rooted in something else. Right? Think of it. It's exactly kind of how the world around us operates. Right? For those apart from Christ, for the worldly things, we know that it sows division. It seeks to serve self first. It puts anger at the front. I mean, it worships at the idols of people and places and things. And Scripture reminds us here that while the world will call this path the path of the many, that while the world's standards, that path will be successful, that as followers of Jesus, we're to walk the narrow path. That in spite of what the world says, that we're to walk on the narrow path of the Lord's way and to walk in His righteousness and His holiness. That is the one who is rooted in faith. That is the path of faithfulness. It says the old saying goes, I tell our students this all the time, be in the world but not of the world. Right? That we know that as followers of Jesus here on this planet, we will live in the world amongst those who do not follow Christ, amongst the evil and the sicknesses of the world, but we're not to be of the world, we're to be in the world as a witness to those who don't know Christ. And so the one who is rooted, the one who is faithful, walks on the path of God, and they do so with faithful obedience. But as we walk in that path, I want us to be encouraged that we serve a God who has our best interest in mind. Right? That starts with salvation. Right? It starts with a God who would come down, take on flesh, and then pay the price that you and I could not pay. It then starts with Him giving us the Holy Spirit, that when He would ascend 40 days later, He'd say, I know that I'm leaving, but it will be better for you, for I'm giving you the Helper. Right? And the Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk in the ways that God has given us. Right? He has our best interest when He sent His Son, and then His Son modeled for us what life of following God should look like in practical ways of walking in righteousness. His ways are truly better. I've had to remind myself that countless times. Often, my flesh, I'll find myself walking in my own ways or in anger or whatever, and I find that in those times, I'm most stressed, I'm most anxious, I have no peace. I'm more likely to lash out at my family in anger, at friends in anger. Whereas when I walk in the paths of God, where I walk in the path of faithfulness, everything in the world could be going completely chaotic. But for some reason, there's peace that surpasses understanding. Or there's joy that surpasses anything else. Man, walk in the ways of the Lord. Stand resolute in the truth of who we serve. In verse 2, he says, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Man, blessed is the one who delights in the Lord's word. We just talked about the Lord's way. Here's the Lord's word. Man, this is a twofold. The first is Scripture, right? It's God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that God's Word is, it's God-breathed. It's usable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness so that you and I may be equipped for every good work. As followers of Christ, it is critical that we dedicate and invest time to spend in Scripture. It's important that we spend time in God's Word, to meditate on it day and night, to be saturated with the Word of God so that at any given time, Scripture is what flows out of us. So to meditate on it day and night doesn't mean that you and I can sit for 24 hours, 7 days a week with a Bible open in a closet with some candles around and kumbayaing. That would be great. But we all know that we have responsibilities to go throughout the week. But to meditate on in God's Word day and night means that in any situation, that in anything that life throws at you, that your response is rooted in God's Word. That it's God's Word that flows out of you, that when Satan throws things at you or when the world throws chaos in your face, that it's God's Word that is in response. Why is it important to know Scripture? It's important to know Scripture for when you're facing temptation. When Jesus is fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he then goes to the desert and he's tempted by Satan, and three times he responds to Satan with Scripture. It's important to know Scripture. It's important to know Scripture because it gives us absolute truth. We know that Satan is the father of lies. We know that our world and the things of the world are often built on lies, and Scripture gives us absolute truth. It's important to know Scripture because it helps us when we're facing suffering and hardship. God's Word speaks boldly in persecution and in chaos. And obviously, it gives us instruction on Christian living. I think it's also important to know Scripture because it teaches us how to forgive and love each other well. We know that even as those who are, we could be rooted in faith, we could walk the path of faithfulness, we're often going to mess up. And we need to know how to love each other, to forgive each other, and to act in accordance. Invest and dedicate time in Scripture. The second part of the twofold thing of delighting in the law of the Lord is how you and I handle situations and circumstances. How you and I handle the things that we go through. Psalms 1 calls us to be mindful of the covenant that God gives us in his word, and then in every situation seek to please him. To have a concentrated focus. And simply what that means is to surrender, submit, and seek. Right? First off, like when you're facing the moment, your tough decision, or you're tempted to lash out in anger in a sinful way, that we would surrender that moment at the feet of Jesus. We'd surrender it to him. Second is submit. You got to submit to what God's word says. We just talked about God's word, how God's word calls us to act in accordance in those times. And the third is seek to please the Lord in every situation. To be faithfully obedient to God. Why? Because a faith that is rooted is a faith that produces action. Let me be clear here. It's not the action that saves. It's not action that produces faith. Scripture is very clear that the blood of Christ is the only thing that can wash you and I clean, and that we have nothing to offer. Scripture is very clear. But a life that is rooted in the gospel, a faith that is rooted in the truth of Jesus Christ, is a faith that produces action because it stands resolute with God's word and God's way. Scripture tells us that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And if he is truly our shepherd and we are truly his sheep, then let our lives declare to the world that he is the Lord of our life. That his word and his way matters greatly to us. The second thing he tells us in verse 3 and 4 is simply to be a tree. To be a tree. You know, it's like those kids in the Wizards of Oz play that had to dress up as trees and sit in the back and do nothing. That's not what this tree is like, but to be a tree, as described in verse 3, is to be a tree that's planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. To be planted along the riverbank and to bear fruit in each season faithfully, the riverbank here goes back to what we just talked about. It's the Lord's word and the Lord's way. His grace, his mercy, his word, his commands, there's a stream, it's a flowing river. And as a tree, we're to soak up and nourish our roots, to soak in his word, to obey his word, and to trust in his ways. When we do this, there's a direct correlation to the fruit that we bear. He says that as you're planted on the riverbanks, as you're soaking in my word, as you're faithfully being obedient to my ways, you will produce fruit in each season. It's a direct correlation. When you and I bear fruit, It's not just a benefit to us, but it's a benefit to those around us. It serves as a light and a loving image of the gospel to those who are in a dark and dying world. But again, it says the faithful tree is one who bears fruit. It's a direct correlation to how you and I walk in his faithfulness. It's like a football team that does or does not practice, right? It's like a football team that looks great on paper, but doesn't practice, like the Dallas Cowboys, and they go out there and they lose. And I say that as a Cowboys fan, it hurts my heart. And then there's a football team that does practice, like Texas Tech, right? And then they go out on Saturday and you win 67-7. And you know, as I was preparing that this week, I thought that would be a great illustration. But if Tech loses, wow, that's going to be really bad. But thankfully, man, they got it done yesterday. But again, it's a direct correlation, right? What you put in practice, you get out. What you reap, you sow. Right, as followers of Christ, as we faithfully are obedient to God, as we faithfully follow his word, as we faithfully walk in his ways, we will bear good fruit. Next thing it says of trees is that their leaves never wither and they prosper in all that they do. This isn't a guarantee of a life without hardship. Right, there are people that preach that testament that this is a guarantee of prosperity, and that's it's a false testament. This word doesn't give us immunity, over hardships, failure, or difficulty, and it does not guarantee health, wealth, or happiness. What it does tell us is that when you and I apply God's words to our lives, when we remain faithful despite circumstances, when we stand firm in obedience to God, that we will bear good fruit and God will approve of the fruit that we bear. That while the situations in life may look dark and hopeless, that what we're doing for the kingdom of God will prosper. That by the world standards, things may look poor, right? It's not saying that you will prosper by the world standards. There may be some things in life that look poor there. But as we continue to bear good fruit, what we're doing for the kingdom of God, what God's doing to work in the kingdom here on earth, it will prosper because we serve a God who is above all things. Be a tree. Remain faithful. Be obedient to God's word and his ways. Soak in his nourishment and produce fruit, both for your benefit and for the benefit of others. He lays out the path of the unfaithful like that of chaff. When wheat is harvested, the husk and the straw, they're left, they're useless. That's chaff, right? Like, so in the old days, like, they'd take wheat, they'd put all the kernels in the threshing pan and they'd toss it up to thresh it, and the weight of the kernels would fall back down into the pan. And what was left, the little pieces of husk and straw, would blow away. And God says, that's like the path of the wicked, the path of the unfaithful. It's like chaff. It's useless. It blows away. It doesn't stand the test of time. We know that apart from Christ, it is impossible to bear fruit. Jesus says that I am the vine and you are the branches. Remain in me. Apart from me, you can bear no fruit. I think even as Christians, as those who are rooted in faith, the enemy wants nothing more than for us as believers to be discouraged, distracted, and doubtful to the point where we do not produce fruit. Distracted by busyness and worldly pursuits, discouraged by hardships and persecutions, deceived by his lies, and divided within the body of Christ. All of these things harm fruit production. They harm the root system of our faith. When we let these things get the best of us, or maybe when we choose to walk in a path that is not rooted in faith, we start to produce less fruit. Again, it's like the football team that doesn't practice. It's like reaping what you sow. If we're not going to walk in God's path or walk in his ways, it'll be harder for us to bear good fruit. There's going to be some difficulties in life. There's going to be some things that Satan throws at us to discourage us. But time and time again, be reminded to be a tree standing rooted on the faith that while we live in a world that will fail, we serve a God who never fails. We live in a world that will pass away, but we serve a God who was and is to come and is above time itself. Bear good fruit. It's not only a benefit and a joy of following Jesus, but it's a loving light of Jesus to others around you, helping them to the feet of the Savior. The last thing he tells us about the path of one who is rooted is that they're rooted on the firm foundation. When you look at verses 5 and specifically 6, again, it says, they will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. He is the foundation that holds up. He is the foundation that holds up. Scripture is very clear here on what will stand and what will pass away. It says the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. The foundation of Christ will stand the test of time. Those who are on or in the faith, those who are of the faith, those who are on the path that is watched over by God, built on His truth and His being, will stand. The foundation of literally anything else will crumble at even the slightest miscue. I've told our students this. I've had to tell myself this in my own life because it's a fleshly desire to build things on foundations that are important in that moment. But on anything else, if your foundation is built on anything else, there will come a time that foundation will fail. If it's built on a foundation of financial security, it will fail. If it's built on a foundation of achievement, it will fail. If it's built on a foundation of the relationships with others, it will fail. If it's built on a foundation of job or occupation, it will fail. If it's built on a foundation of status, it will fail. And ask yourself the question, what are you building your life on? Are you on the path that is rooted and faithful, built on a firm foundation of Jesus, or is your house being built on a foundation of sand? Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." What are you building your foundation on? Is it on the foundation of the solid rock of Jesus who will stand the test of time, or is it built on the sand? I think it's important that we constantly check our hearts in this area. We constantly re-examine. It's a fleshly desire of mine in different seasons of life to build different foundations, to be focused on things that I find more important. One of the great lies of the enemy is that your life needs to be based on who you are, what you do, and what is around you, rather than the God that you serve. The God who is greater than all things. The God who is above all things. The God who is life. The God who is the author of salvation. The God who is the beginning and the end. The life of one who is rooted is built on a solid and secure foundation of Jesus Christ. It says the old hymn goes, it's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. We build our lives, we root our lives in His foundation, and then diligently practice out our faith. We diligently practice out our faith to the world around us, knowing that He's working things out for good. That even when everything seems as if it's at a loss and hardship and struggle are upon us, that we can trust without a doubt that the foundation is intact because it's His foundation and it will be in place from the beginning throughout all of eternity. Remain rooted in that foundation. Build on the solid rock. Scripture is very, very clear. That the foundation that is built on sand, that a life that is on the path of rooted in anything else but Christ will only lead to destruction. It will only lead to destruction. And while the path of one who is rooted may look difficult, it may come with hardship, it may come with tribulation, it will lead to an eternity with the Father. Remain rooted on His foundation. The last thing I want to point you towards, and you don't have to flip there, is Psalms 127:1. It's a verse that I've had to apply to my life a lot recently. And it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers build in vain. It's been a defining verse of my life because, again, it is my fleshly desire to do things my way. To go against the Lord's way and to do things the way that I feel is best. To delight in my desires over God's word, to root myself away from His stream of grace and build foundations on things that I find important in that season. But as this psalm reminds us, and as Psalm 1 reminds us, unless we are rooted in faith and driven to live on His path, all that is there is destruction. time and time again where I have fallen because I've built life on a false foundation. I've had to come to the feet of Jesus because everything crumbled. And the truth is that outside of the path of one who is rooted in faith, there's nothing but failure. But on the path of one who is rooted, even when everything seems like failure, there's nothing but victory. Constantly meditate on the way and the word of the Lord. Be a tree who seeks up the waters, who soaks up the waters of his goodness, and build everything upon his firm and lasting foundation, because he is our wonderful Savior. And if you've never made that decision, as we get ready to close today, I'm going to pray for us. But know today that if your life is built on a false foundation, that man, it's easy to tear that down. Like it may look, you may have to tear a bunch of things down, but I promise you now that rebuilding on the foundation of Christ is the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. Let me pray for us. Father, Lord, we ask that you would just continue to guide us this week. God, that you would just give us the strength to remain rooted in faith. God, to walk on your path. God, to delight in your word. God, to meditate on your law day and night. God, to be reminded of your goodness, that in seasons of struggle, we would be reminded of your goodness, of who you are. God, of your love, of your grace, of your mercy, that is an ever-flowing stream, God, that never stops rushing. Lord, I ask that you would just allow us to be a light to your name this week, that as we leave this place, God, that you would just give us the opportunities to be salt and the light to the earth. God, that you would use us to bring others to the feet, to your feet, God, that we would be a witness to your name. It's in your most heavenly name that we pray. Amen. If you guys would stand with us as we dismiss this morning. Again, if you have any decision to make or a question about the message, we would love to talk with you. Shane and I will be hanging around here to talk with you about that. But again, any announcements that we made today or any information that you have about anything that can be coming up can be found in our newsletter or it can be found on our website. But receive the blessing as you head out this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Have a great week.